Romans chapter number 6 this morning. Romans chapter number 6, right after the book of Acts, Romans chapter number 6. And when you found it, you can say amen, and I'll know that we'll be all good to go. All right, Romans 6, and this is what the Bible says. Get it all together here, find my glasses, we'll be good. It says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in the newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, and the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Now we're going to take our text there out of verse number 4. And just now as I'm looking at this verse, I'm amazed at how good the Lord is. And how he makes things come together. We are having a baptism this morning. And this verse pictures or testifies of what baptism is a picture of. It's a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. As a believer is baptized and they go down the water, it's a picture of his death. And as they come up, it's a picture of the resurrection and our responsibility to walk in the newness of life. Now, verse 4 says, therefore, we are buried with him in baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, we should also walk in the newness of life. And I'm going to preach this morning on this simple little thought of walking in the newness of life. Walking in the newness of life. It's one thing to be saved. It's another thing to live your life as a Christian and a child of God and to walk in the newness of life. So many people name the name of Christ, but they don't walk in the newness of life. They act as if they were never saved after they get saved. And let me tell you something. That's a real problem in a person's life because Christianity is supposed to produce a change in a person's life. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Hallelujah. And walk in the newness of life is what a child of God is supposed to do. So that's what we're going to preach on. Let's pray and ask for God's blessings. Father, God, I pray you bless the word this morning as I preach on this thought of walking in the newness of life. And I pray that for the child of God that's here this morning, for every born-again believer in Jesus Christ, that we would walk in the newness of life. We'd be careful of our walk and our behavior and the things that we do. And God, that we'd be walking in a way that would honor and glorify you, walking in a way that others would see that they're in darkness and that they need a Savior. And God, I pray if there's one today in darkness, they're lost, they're going to hell, that today could be the day of salvation for them. Let the Holy Ghost of God speak to all of our hearts, and Father, we'll give you the thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, this morning as you preach on this thought of walking in the newness of life, walking in the newness of life. Can I say this? In Christ, thank God, we have life. Amen. In Christ, we have life. And because of that, we no longer have to be a slave to sin. Amen. You do not have to be a slave to sin. So many people, they say, I just have to do this thing, or this thing has got control of my life, or this thing makes me do what it wants me to do. And let me tell you something, that is not how God has intended for the Christian life to be. God has intended for the Christian life to be free from these things. There's no doubt about it. The bonds have been broken, and we are free in Jesus Christ. John 8:32 says, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Amen. Thank God we're free in Christ. Thank God we don't have to be controlled by everything in this world. Thank God we can be led by the Holy Ghost. We can be victors. We can be overcomers. And we don't have to be a slave to sin like so many are. And it's sad. You see people getting arrested every day of the week because they're a slave to sin. And I'll say some more about it in a minute, but they become a slave to their pornography. They become a slave to their drugs. They become a slave to their habits. You name it. Anything you could possibly name this morning, people become a slave to those things. How do you know when you're a slave to those things? When you can't do without them. When they begin to control your behavior, you will become a slave to that thing. And people fool themselves into thinking they're not a slave when in reality they are. They become a slave. The Bible says you know the truth will make you free. But let me tell you something. When you become a slave to these things, Christ never intended for us to be bound by these things. In Romans chapter 6, if you look in verse number 12, notice what it says. You're right there. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members of instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion, rule, power. That's what that means, over you. For ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then shall we say? Because we're not under the law, but under grace. But God forbid, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are, to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which is delivered unto you, being made free from sin. Excuse me, ye became the servants of righteousness. Now you think about this for a minute. We've been delivered from the power of darkness. We've been delivered from these things. And thank God, we don't have to be a slave to sin anymore when you trust Christ as your Savior. Can I say this? We no longer have to be a servant to Satan. Hey, when we were lost, we were servants to the devil. And the devil's a cruel master. And the devil doesn't look out for us. The devil doesn't care about us. Hey, the devil tells you to climb that tree and then he cuts the tree down. That's what the devil does. And serving the devil is a life full of misery and heartbreak that he brings upon his children. No doubt about it. Colossians 1:13 says, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. You say the Bible says this, and 2 Corinthians 4:4, in whom the godless world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, whose image of God, should shine unto them. You know, the devil tells people, hey, take these drugs, you'll have the best life ever. You ever seen their pictures on the billboard where their teeth are falling out and they weigh 100 pounds? Boy, they swallowed that lie for the devil. People say, oh, get involved in pornography and you'll be fulfilled. No, you'll be in jail. You'll be a sex offender the rest of your life. You'll be a miserable wretch is what you'll become. The devil says, oh, you need some alcohol so you can relax and unwind. Yeah, and end up in jail the rest of your life. End up with broken homes and broken marriage and broken children. You see, the devil's a cruel master. And boy, if you've ever seen a cruel slave master, you've read the history of slavery and how cruel masters can be. Let me tell you, the cruelest slave master in the world is the devil. And Christ has set us free from these things. We've been delivered. We have been, thank God, we have been set free. We don't have to be a slave to sin. We don't have to be a servant to Satan. No longer do we have to be a stooge for society. You know, you have to laugh sometimes when it comes to peer pressure in society. And people always pressure you to do things, but they're never looking out for your best interest when they do it. I'll never forget, we were raised in Cincinnati, Ohio, and they had Kings Island, that amusement park up there. And in the amusement park, from time to time, teenagers would go to the Eiffel Tower. And the Eiffel Tower is a miniature replica of the Eiffel Tower in France, in Paris, France. And from time to time, they'd have teen days and so on and so forth. And every so many years, teens will jump from the Eiffel Tower to their death. And it's a sad thing. But you know what's even sadder? Is all the teenagers at the bottom calling for them to jump. All the teenagers at the bottom say, yeah, jump, jump, jump. They're all yelling in unison, jump, jump, jump. And then the poor person jumps to their death. Let me tell you something. A lot of times your friends, so-called friends, don't care one little bit about your life. They will set you up and cause you to do things that is so destructive to your life, and they'll laugh when it happens. When that boy jumped to his death, the whole crowd was laughing as he jumped to his death. Were those kids his friends? They were not his friends. But see, the world will have you make a fool out of you. The world will make the biggest clown and buffoon out of you they can make. They'll encourage you to do it, and then they'll laugh at you when your life is in pieces. Let me tell you something. Christ will never do that to you. Thank God in Christ, we don't have to succumb to these things. Thank God in Christ, we can walk in the newness of life. We can have a new life. We can have a better life. And thank God for the life that we have in Christ. Now, a few simple things this morning. The first thing is, you say, what do we have in Christ? We have eternal life. Amen. We have eternal life, everlasting life, unending life in Jesus Christ. Aren't we thankful for that this morning? In our text, if you look there in verse 22, it says, "But now being made free from sin and become the servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." People say, why do you want to be a Christian? Hey, eternal life's a good reason to become a Christian. Amen. I'm going to live forever in Jesus Christ. 1 John 5:13 says, "These things that I've written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe in the name of the Son of God." You know the one thing that sparked my interest in Jesus Christ more than anything else? When my brother-in-law said, "Chris, I'm a born-again believer in Jesus Christ. When I die, I know I'm going to heaven." And I thought to myself, being raised a lost Catholic that I was, I thought, how in the world does he know that? That's the one thing I've wanted to know all my life. If I was going to go to heaven when I die. You know you're going to heaven when you die. Are you 100% certain of that this morning? Let me tell you, in Christ we can be certain. In Christ we can be 100% sure that we're going to be with Jesus Christ when we die. That's part of the thing of walking in the newness of life. Thank God He's given us eternal life this morning. Everlasting life. Thank God, enduring life. The life that comes through knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's the greatest thing that anyone can ever have. That we know that we're going to live forever with Jesus Christ. D.L. Moody, and he said this and testified many times. He said, one day you're going to read in the paper that I have died. But he said, don't you believe it. He said, at that day I'll be more alive than I've ever been. Amen. Thank God for that. That's true. You look at me in the Gospel of Mark chapter number 12, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, which did not believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They came to Christ one time trying to tempt Him and trying to get advantage of Him. And they asked Him some questions about the resurrection because they didn't believe in the resurrection. They didn't believe in heaven. They didn't believe in everlasting life. And Mark 12 and verse 18, "Then come unto Him the Sadducees, which say there's no resurrection. And they asked Him, saying, Master, Moses wrote unto us, if a man's brother die and leave his wife behind him and leave no children, that his brother should take his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. Now there were seven brethren. The first took a wife and dying left no seed. And the second took her and died and neither left thee any seed. And the third likewise. And the seven had her and left no seed. And last of all, the woman died also. In the resurrection, therefore, when they shall rise, whose wife shall she be of them? For the seven had her a wife." And Jesus answering said unto them, "Do ye not therefore err, because you know not the Scriptures, neither the power of God? For when they shall rise from the dead, they neither marry, nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels which are in heaven." Well, that's a great truth that people don't understand to this day. People say, when I die, well, me and my wife in heaven. No. It ain't going to be me and my wife in heaven. It's going to be you and Jesus Christ in heaven. Amen. There is no marriage in heaven. When we get to heaven, we're going to be with Jesus Christ. You know, I want to see my grandfather and my grandmother, and I want to see my dad and mom, and I want to see my loved ones that have gone on. But let me tell you, I want to see Jesus Christ above everybody else. Amen. They'll all have to get in line if they want to see me. I want to see Jesus Christ. That's who I want to see. And I tell you, that's who you're going to want to see if you have trusted Christ as your Savior. It's so sad that we make every appeal. We make heaven like earth. Heaven's not like earth. Your sports car is not going to be in heaven. Your dog is not going to be in heaven. Hallelujah. Your horse ain't going to be there. Your house isn't going to be there. All these things in this world are going to pass away one day. And there's nothing in heaven, nothing in this world that compare to what's in heaven. Thank God. I'm tired of these folks who want to compare heaven to what is on earth. There's no comparison. Jesus went on to say, and notice what He went on to say, and what a great thing that He said here. Again, notice what it says in verse number 26, and as touching the dead that they rise, have you not read in the book of Moses how in the bush God spake unto him saying, I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. He's not a God of the dead, but the God of the living. Ye therefore do greatly what? Err. Can I tell you this morning? Thank God that God is a God of the living. He is the God, is present tense, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You say, are Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, yeah, they're more alive than you could possibly imagine. He is the God of D.L. Moody. He is the God of Charles Spurgeon. He is the God of Mordecai Hammond, Lester Roloff. He is the God of Lee Robertson. Hey, where's Brother Andrew? He is the God of Lonnie Kidwell. He is the God of Bob Henson, our former pastor here. He is the God of Hannah Cooper. He is the God of Jim Dunbar. Hallelujah! He is the God of these people. Because He's alive and so are they. Thank God for everlasting and eternal life. In the book of John, the book of John's all about everlasting and eternal life. Thank God that it is. In the book of John, in verse 3:16, we know what that says. For God so loved the world that gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 36, and he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. In John 5, and in verse number 24, Jesus said this, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. In John 5 and verse 39 he said, search the scripture, for in them you think you have a life, eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. In John chapter 6 and in verse 47 he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. In John 7 and in verse number 37 Jesus said this, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. In John chapter number 10, Jesus said this in verse 9. He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter, he shall be saved, and shall go and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not for to steal and to kill and destroy, but I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. And then he said this, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Thank God I have eternal life this morning. You know, when I was lost, you know what the devil told me? He said, you're okay. You don't need Jesus Christ. You don't need God. You don't need these things. You're okay. I got saved. You know what the devil told me? The devil said, you ain't saved. You ain't saved. You're not going to heaven. You know, it's amazing. When I was lost and going to hell, there was nobody to tell me how to go to heaven. But when I got saved, boy, there were all kind of people to tell me why I was going to hell. And why I didn't have eternal life and eternal salvation. Isn't that a funny thing? That's a funny thing. You're a child of God this morning. You have everlasting life. And you cannot perish because Jesus Christ is with you. That's a great truth. Thank God. Walking in the newness of life produces eternal life. Eternal life. Can I say this morning? It produces abundant life. I just read that verse in John 10. John 10:10, where it says, He came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. Now, what does the word abundant mean? It means a lot of it. Amen. When I was going to hell, I didn't have much life. All I had was existing. I see people all the time in Chattanooga, and they come by here all the time. You know what they're doing? They're existing. They're on life support. They can barely make it. They can barely make it through the day. They can barely make it through the week. They are just barely making it. You say, why? Because they've never experienced abundant life. When you got abundant life, that means you got a lot of life. You got a lot of something. You see, walking in the newness of life produces abundant life. You know what I had when I was a sinner going to hell? Nothing. But when I got saved and started walking for Jesus Christ, it's amazing what God began to do in my life. It's amazing what God began to add to me and what God began to bless me with and what God began to do, because He promised us abundant life. Abundant life. And I found out that there's more to life than TV. You say, what's the TV? The television. Lester Roloff called the television. There's more life than that. There's more than life than the television. You say, you know, I worked with a guy, his name was Dale, he was a black man. And Dale said, you know, he'd come into work and he'd say this. He said, Chris, I got it all figured out. This TV show comes on at 5 o'clock. This TV show comes on at 6 o'clock. This one comes on at 7 o'clock. This one comes on at 8 o'clock. And that's Monday night. And Tuesday night it's this, this, this. Wednesday night it's this, this, this. And I thought to myself, you have no life. If the TV guide is your guide to life, you got serious problems. Amen. You got serious problems. It's no wonder he ended up divorced. It's no wonder he ended up, because let me tell you, there's more to life than television. Amen. Sitting in a dark room, in a dark house, watching TV, and the drool running down your face, there's more to life than that. God help us if that's all your life consists of. Now, hey, I like Fox News, I like TV shows, I like all those things. But let me tell you something, there's more to life than that. There's more to life than the television. You know why America's so fat and obese and all the problems we're having? Because all they do is sit on their butt and watch TV. And there's more to life than that. That's not abundant life. Sitting on your couch watching TV, that is not abundant life. That's sad. That's all a lot of people do. That's what they live for. I know that because when I was lost, I had the TV guide memorized. The TV guide, remember when it came in the Saturday paper and you memorized it for the whole week? Now, that tells you how old I am, but that's what we would do. We didn't have cable TV. We'd memorize it. God help us. People got a TV in every room. You know, when I came to Fellowship Baptist Church, can I tell you? There was a cable cord in the bathroom by the toilet. There was a cable cord on the kitchen sink. There's a cable cord in every bedroom, a cable cord in the dining room, a cable cord in the family room, and a cable cord in the living room. Now, does anyone really have to need that many TVs? I mean, there must be nine if you count the bathroom. Could you imagine there'd be 9 TVs in a person's house? 9 TVs? They can't live without watching TV for 1 second? Now, I got teenagers. Boys, if I really want to punish you, what do? I take away the TV and they're ready to die. I took the TV away from Gabriel for a week. He said, oh, a week of no TV. This was so horrible. A week of no TV. Well, God help us. What happened if the lights went out? I mean, it'd be Harry Carey time. No TV. I thought, what is wrong with this generation? They don't know what abundant life is. The TV is not abundant life. This generation that, my goodness, they think alcohol is, you know, they have to have alcohol to live. That's not abundant life. That's the most miserable life a person can possibly have. I've seen the results of it. I mean, you look at the, you know, there's more to life than alcohol. There's and you think in Tennessee there's no life without alcohol. Remember all the commercials back when they wanted wine in the grocery store? Where's the wine? Where's the wine? Where's the wine? There's more to life than alcohol, for God's sake. Hey, maybe if we went out and said, hey, let's tell someone about Jesus Christ. Let's spend some money on missions. Let's spend some money on things that matter instead of, where's the wine? Where's the Jack Daniels? Where's the liquor? There's more to life than that. God help us. There's more to life than that. There's more to life than smoking cigarettes and vaping and all that other nonsense. There's more to life than that. There's more to life than sex and pornography. There's more to life than drugs. There's more to life than that. All those things leave you empty. But can I tell you, God and family and church and friends and work and career, that'll take you somewhere. Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all these things shall be added unto you. The great commandment is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy soul, and thy mind. And the second commandment is to love thy neighbor as thyself. Real joy comes from putting Jesus first and others second and you last. You know, it's funny what God does for you when you come to Christ. you really begin to live instead of existing and just getting by. I remember when I got saved and start going to church on Sunday morning, and then I start going Sunday night, and then I asked Dad if I could go on Wednesday. He said, "You are becoming a fanatic." I said, "A fanatic? I'm only going 3 days a week." When I sat in there and watched TV 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you didn't think I was a fanatic. When we were out drinking and carousing and the police were coming home, you didn't think I was a fanatic. Hey, when we were getting in trouble and doing all kind of bad things, you didn't think I was a fanatic. But because I go to church 3 days a week, you think I'm a fanatic? I'm thinking to myself, you ought to be happy. You don't have to get up at 3 a.m. and see the policeman stand at the door. You should be thrilled that we're doing something different. But I found out that there was more to life than sitting and watching TV, more to life than carousing at night. Let me tell you, you want excitement? Get you a handful of gospel tracts and start knocking on people's doors, and you'll have the greatest exhilaration you could possibly have. Because you will meet all kinds of different people. Can I tell you, it's exhilarating when you knock on someone's door and they have a shotgun. Yeah. That's exhilaration. That's more exhilaration you could possibly handle. We were at the door down by Hope's house the one day, our neighbor out there, and I was just knocking on a little girl's door, and I knocked on the door, and he came to the door with a knife, and he was teasing me, right? He was teasing me. I laughed. I said, "Hey, I don't scare that easy. This ain't the first time I knocked on someone's door now." But let me ask you something. If you knocked on someone's door and they came with a knife like that, would that be exhilaration? That's exhilaration. Now, he laughed and I laughed, and I thought to myself, I hope he doesn't do that all the time. That's a sure way to end up in jail, right? I said, "Look, I'm 54. That didn't scare me." But I'll tell you what, I forget who was with me that day. But I thought to myself, I said, "You want exhilaration? You want excitement? Stand on the street corner and hold a sign that says, there's no way to heaven except through Jesus Christ. You want to have some exhilaration? That'll give you some exhilaration. People driving by, things they're saying and the gestures they're making. Because you're just standing there holding a sign. Hey, there are a lot of things to do that'll give you entertainment. Besides this worthless stuff that means nothing. See, abundant life. Abundant life is a great thing. And when you walk in the newness of life, you're going to have abundant life. You're going to be blessed. And God is going to work and do some things. And your life will be changed. There's the joyful life. Thank God for the joy that we have in Jesus Christ. You know, as a sinner, I didn't have much joy. And I had a long face and wasn't very happy. But when I came to Jesus Christ, it's amazing the joy that Jesus Christ put into my soul. 1 Peter 1:18 says this. It says, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition of your father, but with the precious lamb, blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot." The Bible goes on to say this, In whom having not seen, and ye love, in whom though ye now see him not yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. You know, when you give your heart and life to Jesus Christ, you get joy unspeakable. The Apostle Paul wrote the book of Philippians, and the book of Philippians is about having joy. And the Apostle Paul knew what joy was, because you know where joy comes from? I was telling the boys last night. Joy is not something that comes from external forces. You understand that? That's not where joy and happiness come from. You say, "Well, happiness is a new car." No, that's not happiness. Because in a few weeks, it won't be a new car anymore, right? When it gets a scratch on it, it won't be a new car anymore. That's not joy and that's not happiness. Though joy and happiness are not affected by things that are on the outside. Joy and happiness have to come from the inside of a person. When Paul and Silas in the book of Acts, chapter number 16, when they had been beaten and cast into the inner prison, their hands and feet were in the stocks, and they were cast into where the mice would bite on their toes, and the mice would crawl across their bodies, and the creatures and the cockroaches and all the filth and the vermin and the dark of that cold, wet, damp prison. The Bible says at midnight they began to pray and to sing praises unto God. You say, where did that came from? That came from the joy that was inside of them. When Adoniram Judson had been in Burma, when they had arrested him and they put him in prison, and they hung him upside down with his feet in the air and his head touching the ground, and the mice came and bit his ears off and ate his ears off. His wife died while he was there in the prison. And the jailer would shake the chain and rattle his chain. He said, Judson, how bright are the prospects of God now? And he'd say, the prospects of God are just as bright today as they were the day Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And Judson would smile. You think, how could a person smile in that condition? Because they're walking in the newness of life. You see, happiness isn't what you have. Happiness is what you are. You got to be happy with yourself before you ever have happiness. And see, that joy that comes from inside of knowing Jesus Christ. That joy comes inside of walking with Jesus Christ. That's the joy that I'm talking about. And that's the thank God for the joyful life that we have in Him. The Bible says, if in this life only of hope are all men most miserable, if all your hope is in this world and the things of it, you'll never be happy. Because happiness is the Lord. Happiness is the Lord, the glorified life. There's a glorified life. Thank God for the glorified life in Jesus Christ. I want to read a verse, 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. And this is what the Bible says, 2 Corinthians 12. And in verse number 1, Paul said this, is not expedient for me, doubtless the glory I will come, the visions, revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such one caught in the third heaven, and I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for man to utter. I have such a one, I will glory, yet not of myself, I will glory but in mine infirmity. You know, one day we're going to say glory to God for the new body that we're going to have in Jesus Christ. And we are going to have a new body one day, a glorified body, a body likened unto His glorious body. Thank God, there'll be no more balding. There'll be no more bulges. There'll be no more back problems. Amen. There'll be no more bone problems, no more bunions, no more bruises, no more bursitis, no more bronchitis, no more of these things in this life. What's the Bible say in Revelation 21? Revelation 21 says that the former things are passed away. I want to read that one for you. And we're going to bring it to a close. But Revelation 21, and this is what it says. Thank God for the life that we have in Christ. He says this, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. They're going to be passed away, folks. They're going to be passed away. The sinner without God, their sorrows are just going to begin. But ours are going to be passed away. It's a glorified life. Thank God it's a happy life, walk in the newness of life. All the time I say, happiness is the Lord, happiness is the Lord, happiness is the Lord. There's no happiness without Jesus Christ. You may have fun, but there's pleasure in sin for a season, but it never lasts long. Happiness is the Lord. You'll never find happiness walking in the way of this world. Your happiness and your fulfillment and your joy comes from walking in the newness of life. Leave you with this verse and we'll close. John said this. And John was the one who laid on Jesus Christ's bosom. This is what he said. That which from the beginning we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon with our hands, have handled the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness showing to you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message we have heard of Him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. And if we say that we have fellowship with Him, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. The only way to have life is to walk in the newness of life. Let me tell you something. There are so many people who can't seem to find what they're looking for because they're not walking in the newness of life. Teenager, you're never going to find happiness, joy, fulfillment with this world. It will always leave you empty. Young person, in your careers, trying to become something and build something, let me tell you, if you leave Jesus Christ out, you're never going to find joy and happiness. Walking in the newness of life is where there's joy, peace, happiness, and fulfillment. But you know, it's hard to do that if you've never been saved. It's really hard to do if you've never been born again. Because walking in the newness of life is not something you can fake. Either you've become a child of God and you've been born again, or you never have. And therein lies the problem. You read on down there in Revelation 21:4. Hey, verse 4 is great. But when you get to chapter 8, that's verse number 8, that's not very great, talking about the fearful and the unbelieving and the whoremongers and the adulterers and all the sinful people of this world that are going to burn in hell forever. That's not so great. The greatest thing you ever do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and then walk in the newness of life. Let's stand for prayer. Look, the